CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Arriving back in Washington, President Trump, because of the Iran-Israel fighting, he left the G7 summit in Canada early, denying the French president's claim of working on a ceasefire. It's much bigger than that, says Mr. Trump. Another incident of Palestinians killed near a food aid center run by the new U.S.-Israeli military group. 51 dead, says the Gaza Health Ministry. Witnesses say Israeli troops opened fire. No comment from the Israeli military, which was asked about it. Investigators in Minnesota say Vance Bolter, accused of killing one Democratic lawmaker and wounding another, had a hit list with dozens of names. ABC's Melissa Adan.
Prosecutors revealed chilling new details of a, quote, targeted political assassination designed to inflict fear, injure, and kill members of the Minnesota legislature and their families.
They're cleaning up in Ohio County, West Virginia, after deadly flooding. At least six people died. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lilo and Stitch has finally been dethroned, and there is a new box office champ. How to Train Your Dragon was number one this past weekend with a whopping $83 million. The film brought in another $115 million overseas for a total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 55. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunder shower and a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area recaps last weekend's state Democratic convention and reaction to his column about Governor Evers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You know, employee relations on Wisconsin farms, our agribusinesses, our food processing, meat processing, they've never been more critical than they are today. Welcome to a Tuesday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And today, we're taking kind of a two-pronged approach to how farms are trying to make sure they're creating culture. They're creating family on their farms across multiple generations and across multiple cultures. Stephanie Hoff going to bring us a story with Michael Hoffman, who is the president of Igniting Performance. He works with dairy operators to make sure that they're letting their farm employees feel comfortable, feel valued, and build that culture. I also caught up with Hernando Duarte. He's the bilingual farm labor outreach specialist with UW Extension, who is working to put together resources to help farms keep those employees around in, let's just say, uncertain times. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, is also along for the ride on a Tuesday. And boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be quite a ride today. Midwest Farm Report team is headed up to the Bear Creek area. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days comes up in August, and we are going to investigate the host farm today. I can't say that I'm thrilled about this weather and outdoor events. Better take care of yourself. It's going to be a sunny day today. Highs right around 85. That heat starts to build as soon as 8 o'clock today. Then, after 4 o'clock, we could see showers and thunderstorms develop, continue into the overnight hours. Rain on the way Wednesday, and it could be measurable. Daytime highs on Wednesday, right around 74. Then on Thursday, Juneteenth, should see sunny skies right around 83 degrees again. We'll take a look at the latest crop progress report. That heat is just what Wisconsin farmers are looking for.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide, enter the Real Results Yield Challenge, and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Jefferson County is investing in their economic development with a new food and beverage innovation campus. Kikkoman Foods has already started construction on their new factory, with Onego Bio coming soon. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And Deb Reinbold, the president of ThriveEd in Jefferson County, says that all the advancements are part of an updated strategic plan.
So Jefferson County owned land. It actually used to be the county farmland. And they were very selective as to the types of businesses that we would attract, but it actually is in the city of Jefferson. And we created what we call the Food and Beverage Innovation Campus. And so our primary anchor tenant is Kikkoman. Kikkoman Foods is investing $563 million into a brand new facility. We have announced our second user, which is Onego Bio. That is hopefully going to be breaking ground in the next year or so. And that's another $300 million investment. And we've got another 40 acres approximately that are available for additional food and beverage manufacturers.
And when you were coming up with this idea to have this food and beverage innovation campus, what was the end goal? What was the thought process behind it? And what are you doing to try to get these businesses interested in coming here to Jefferson County?
Sure. So the thought process behind food and beverage, we've got a huge concentration of food and beverage manufacturers already. We wanted to make sure that we weren't competing with other local municipalities and their industrial parks. And honestly, we were very selective about how we marketed this property. And so we didn't actively market it. Instead, we responded to a number of different RFPs. And those RFPs, actually, this was one of the first that we responded to for Kikkoman Foods. And, you know, we were able to just compete. They were competing against 60 other sites throughout the Midwest. And, you know, luckily we were able to attract them to come here into the city of Jefferson. And again, the whole thought behind this was not to compete against our other communities, but yet offer something that supported the rural economy here within the city of Jefferson and Jefferson County.
And for projects like this, obviously this takes a lot of investment. About how much money has been invested into this campus?
Sure. So the city of Jefferson bonded, I believe, for almost $10 million to put the infrastructure in. So all of the infrastructure was to the site. Again, it's in the city of Jefferson. But we still needed to go through and put all the roads and extend the gas and the water sewer. So about $10 million was invested into the infrastructure of the development.
And when you look at it, obviously, it's going to bring in money as well. Do you know how big of an economic impact this is having for the county of Jefferson and maybe just the state of Wisconsin as well, having these big companies coming in to build their factories?
Sure. So I can't give you specific numbers, but again, they've got about $563 million that they're investing into this campus. That number may have updated since we, you know, that was the initial number that they had estimated. But not only is it that investment, it's also all the people that are coming here now for the construction. So not only was it the roads, but Kikkoman is building their facility. And, you know, I can't tell you how many construction companies and their subcontractors that have come out here. And now they're spending their money here within Jefferson County as they go out and eat. And I can tell you a number of them are actually living here within the community while the construction is underway.
And this food and beverage innovation campus, this is a new thing, but you also have many other things you're working on that help the agriculture industry, whether it be farmers or processors. What are some of these other things happening around the county that you are excited for and are new?
Sure. So Jefferson County actually is getting a lot of attention, and primarily because of our focus on food and beverage, advanced manufacturing, agribusiness, and then now we're looking and getting into biohealth and biotech. But we're seeing that the Madison and Milwaukee region is coming closer together. We call it the Madwaukee Corridor, right along I-94. And so we've been getting a lot of attention on all of that. But other investments that we've seen here, Palermo Pizzas has made an investment. Nestle Purina invested $195 million into their existing facility. They've been here, you know, for over 100 years within the city. And then also Astolin Bio. Astolin Bio is a biorefinery up in the town of Astolin, just north of Jefferson. And that's a projected $500 million investment that they're making. And I can tell you that the farmers around here are really pleased. You know, they're paying really good prices for their corn.
And all this incoming funding and stuff from these companies that are building here is also going to help with housing and that side of the economic development. What are you doing to help with housing? I know you're mentioning that you did a study and it showed some interesting things, but what are you doing to help better find housing for people?
Sure. So as far as housing, we absolutely are looking at making investments in housing here. So we haven't seen a ton of new housing here since 2008. And so we've been working for the past 2 years on how to better attract more development. And we're starting to see the fruits of that labor, although we just got a market study that came in and they talk about how we've got a 1% vacancy rate in our multifamily housing, 1.7 months worth of inventory for a single family, which is both very, very low. And so we created what we call the Live Local Development Fund. We announced it back in 2023, and it is a housing fund to support multifamily housing development to start. You know, we're also going to look at how we can help to support single family housing development and that investment here too. But what we found is that You know, it costs the same to construct a project here in Jefferson County as it does in Dane County or in neighboring Waukesha or Milwaukee counties, but we don't get the same amount on rent. And so we've got a number of investors who've invested into this Live Local Development Fund. We've raised $9.5 million. Jefferson County invested $2 million. The Greater Watertown Community Health Foundation invested $2 million. Exonia Bank, $1.5 million. Fort Community Foundation, $1 million. And then Fort Healthcare, $3 million. And what we're doing is we're lending out up to $25,000 per unit. So if they're looking to build 100 units, we can lend them up to $2.5 million at a below market rate. So all of these investors are actually investing in these projects, and they're getting a lower rate of return to help to support housing development here.
And all this work you've been doing has not gone unnoticed. You recently were showing me what the Department of Revenue for the state showed, that there's some interesting stats that came out of this showing just how good this is for the state and the community.
Yeah, I was just showing you that one of my friends had sent me a screenshot of a presentation they saw up north, and the number one and number two projects in the state, according to the Department of Revenue, happened here in Jefferson County. I should also mention that BizTimes Media has also done a great job of publicizing all of the things that are happening here. They just hosted last month a Madwaukee 2050 event and had, about 350 people attend, just learning a little bit more about Jefferson County and the opportunities that were here.
And if we look ahead, what's coming next for Jefferson County and this economic development that you would like to see, or maybe in the infancy stages of development?
So honestly, I can't share too much, but all I can say is that we've got more projects that are in the pipeline. Jefferson County is continuing to grow, and our ultimate goal here is to see investment here within the county, because the more investment that we have, the better the job opportunities and the more sustainable it is for people to raise their families. You know, our goal here is to increase the amount of family sustaining wages, or companies that pay family sustaining wages. And so we're well on the way to achieving that goal.
Is there any other information that you'd like to share about either the Food and Beverage Innovation Campus or any of these other advancements that you're doing here in Jefferson?
Yeah, so one thing that I think your audience might appreciate is the intentionality behind the work that we're doing. So Jefferson County updated their strategic plan, and part of this is about intentional economic growth. We're not just growing for growth's sake. We're growing along the cities and villages, and then also along our transportation corridors, meaning along I-94, Highway 26, 12, 18. So that's really our focus on where we grow. I should also mention Highway 16.
Reinbold says that the ultimate goal for these projects are to continue to see the investments into the county and community to create more jobs. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Anything interesting?
I got a couple here. I'm Austin at a quarter inch, and I just popped up with Viroqua at 4/10.
Okay. Wow. 4/10. Okay. That's a little something. Although when this kind of heat builds, you expect some of those potential pop-up showers, don't you?
Yeah, and it's not even a pop-up. The heat's going to build in today, and the front starts moving into the area. We are in line for rain.
Yeah, and now you were saying measurable rain for a lot of folks this next round.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the fact here. I think later today into the nighttime, showers, thunderstorms, they start to build up and they start adding up. In southern Wisconsin, we could push our way up into the half and even 1-inch range. The further you are to the north, the less rain we're going to see. Way in the north, maybe a quarter inch or so. But in the south, upwards of an inch, maybe not that inch or two we thought could have been with it yesterday. But a cool front's dropping southeast in Wisconsin today. And as it drops on through, for most of us, we're going to talk about some sunshine and a nice day. But the heat starts building, and there's the one Pam highlighted. And I expect today we almost everywhere in Wisconsin, we hit the 80s, low 80s north, mid 80s south. You know, that's going to feel more humid, really bring that summer feel on into the area. That's exactly what's in store. The rain chance holds off till later today into the nighttime, may linger into the day Wednesday, but that's when rainfall amounts add up. Tonight and on into the day Wednesday, we cool off with clouds and of course, that rain chance into the day Wednesday, and that system clears out. Those temps start to rise again already Thursday and Friday. A lot of us start pushing way back up into the 80s. Yes, maybe an afternoon shower or storm or something on toward Thursday night or later Friday. Just not going to be a major wet pattern, but every so often a bit of a rain chance certainly could be seen here as we head toward the end of this week. The weekend ahead really brings on the warm weather. I wouldn't be too surprised in southern Wisconsin this weekend if we see a couple of 90s. So it is going to warm up a whole lot as we head toward the weekend. Stuff you just put out in the garden, make sure you keep watering it this week. Crops, let's just hope they've reached into some moisture and can really deal along with this warmer weather. I'll have forecast details after this.
Agricultural Tourism Association, we're taking you to the strawberry field before the berries ripen up for the season. For Roger Bossy of Bossy's Taste of Country in Colgate, the strawberry season is about more than the fruit. It's about reaching the community.
One of our sayings for our farm is we grow memories. It's not about the strawberry. It's not about apples or pumpkins or any of this stuff. It's about the memories that people get to take back with them. As you get older, it's like all these little memories that you have that you acquire over the years, it's special stuff. And then people just come back every year to get new memories. You know, so many kids I can just picture down in a strawberry field. You know, it might be their first time picking strawberries. They're welcome to sample them out there and all that stuff. And their faces are all full of strawberries and juices running down them. That just brings a lot of joy to my heart.
Roger Bossy along with us from Bossy's Taste of Country. Check out a strawberry farm near you at gowiagtourism.com.
Oh, yeah, picking strawberries. That's something people may do today, Stu. They better take care with this heat.
take care with the heat and that sunshine going to bake on you a little bit more. And there is some chance by later today that a very scattered shower or thunderstorm pops up. Nothing nearby on weather radar, but as that heat builds up, the chance later today. Temps today ought to find their way into the 80s, almost statewide, mid-80s in the south, a little cooler north. The west winds 5 to 10. Showers, even some thunderstorms developing through the nighttime. And, of course, it stays fairly mild, low and mid-60s for nighttime lows with west winds at 5. Mostly cloudy, still that chance for rain lingers into Wednesday. Like I say, in the south, upwards to a half and 1 inch. Not that heavy further north, quarter or half inch at best. Tomorrow, more likely in the 70s for highs with east winds. And then we head toward Thursday, the sun returns, and we head back up into the 80s in the south, upper 70s, northwest breezes, and into the 80s with that chance of an afternoon shower Friday, Pam, and much warmer for the weekend.
Okay, here comes the heat. But that's kind of what the doctor ordered for the crops.
Well, I don't know if we need a lot of 90s, but, you know.
Yeah, I do. I do. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist with your weather details. We do have the latest crop quality report, and you're right. It deteriorated just a little bit. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a conversation from a recent episode of the Busted Pencils podcast, talking about how AI, or artificial intelligence, is being utilized in rural classrooms.
I mean, really, I think it was reading so many of these books, like educational, like more theory-based books. It's like we gotta put theory into action. So it was kind of like a happen chance where we stumbled across, you know, Khan Academy with their KhanMigo, like their AI tutor bot. There's a lot more like technology sources, like embedding AI into them. So we started to look at what would be the capabilities of a classroom if we let some of the tier one instruction be turned over to AI. So where students are actually receiving learning. I mean, as adults, if I want to learn how to change a faucet, I go and watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Kids, this generation of kids, they want to learn via technology. They want to learn via videos. And so, I mean, I think it was just like this perfect storm of like students being disengaged, you know, I was an instructional coach and associate principal. I've sat through my fair share of lessons that I, as the adult, was bored. So it's like all these problems of practice that we were trying to like find a way to solve. And it's like, well, we have something right in our hands. And so what would it look like if we could turn over some of that tier one instruction to a tutor bot or to personalized learning via an online platform and let the teachers do the depth of knowledge and challenge-based learning and really bringing in those real-world connections.
Tell us, you know, rural Wisconsin. So this is happening then in rural Wisconsin.
It's happening. I mean, we have schools that are, I mean, we started off as like a little pilot and now it's like, I feel like every day it's like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? And in this idea of rethinking or rebuilding like public education, I think each district that we work with kind of faces their own problem of practice. We have a district that couldn't really hire a physics teacher. So how can they take a teacher that has no physics background and use AI to truly help teach the kids? We have districts who are like, you know what? No, we're going to teach math, science, ELA, all the content. We're going to teach that and we're going to reduce that time down so the kids get it all.
You've been listening to a portion of the Busted Pencils podcast. To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to our website, civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Arriving back in Washington, President Trump, because of the Iran-Israel fighting, he left the G7 summit in Canada early, denying the French president's claim of working on a ceasefire. It's much bigger than that, says Mr. Trump. Another incident of Palestinians killed near a food aid center run by the new U.S.-Israeli military group.
51 dead, says the Gaza Health Ministry. Witnesses say Israeli troops opened fire. No comment from the Israeli military, which was asked about it. Investigators in Minnesota say Vance Bolter, accused of killing one Democratic lawmaker and wounding another, had a hit list with dozens of names. ABC's Melissa Adan.
Prosecutors revealed chilling new details of a, quote, targeted political assassination designed to inflict fear, injure, and kill members of the Minnesota legislature and their families.
They're cleaning up in Ohio County, West Virginia, after deadly flooding. At least six people died. This is ABC News.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4, I'm joined by Senate candidate in Iowa, J.D. Schulten. He's running against Joni Ernst. I'm joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and State Senator Dora Drake talking biennial budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 55. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunder shower and a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinair on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy.
One of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles, you know, that takes a lot of those dollars away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmer.
Catch Matt and Air on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Like, put on the goalie pads and take slap shots.
Getting a little windshield time in today. The Midwest Farm Report team is headed up to the site for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Show comes up in August. We are going to be visiting the Clinton Farms in Bear Creek today. Multi-generations that have hosted Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Second, third, and fourth generations getting ready to host August 5th through the 7th. If you want to get a preview along with us, follow Midwest Farm Report on social media. We'll be posting some pictures. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 17th day of June. Quite a few things to kind of pique your interest today. On this day back in 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York. Hundreds of thousands of spectators welcome the statue. On this day, 1972, five White House operatives set off alarms in the Watergate office complex. That was the beginning of the scandal we know as Watergate. Started on this day back in 1972. Happy birthday to Wisconsin native and Olympic gold medal skater Dan Jansen. He is 60 today. And happy birthday to Venus Williams. She turns 45 years young. And now you know. Well, you've seen the headlines. The rioting in L.A., the constant raids by ICE on all kinds of different businesses, and some, unfortunately, have involved agriculture. Keeping our employees calm in Wisconsin farms and agribusinesses is a priority. Trying to build a culture where they feel valued and like it's a part of a family, well, that's the challenge every day. Stephanie Hoff has more.
The farm workforce in Wisconsin might be made up of family, might be made up of people of multiple generations, or might be made up of people with different cultural backgrounds, like foreign-born labor. How can farm managers retain those employees? Michael Hoffman is the president of Igniting Performance. He works closely with agricultural organizations such as professional dairy producers, and he specializes in helping develop leaders in the family business. One of the presentations he gives to dairy farmers is how to make farm employees feel comfortable and valued in the workplace. Mike tells us the top challenges for farm families when it comes to managing farm labor.
This is not your grandparents' or great-grandparents' farm. And that's one of the things I see all the time. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure to keep the business going. And I have to remind them, this isn't even close to the business that your grandparents had. Not even close. It's a completely different animal. So you've got people that work in and around, multi-generations, multicultural. Now we're even considering, it's the amount of skill sets that people are bringing. We're talking about technology now. We're talking about dealing with data now that never had to before. It's not just workers. It's a different mindset as to who's coming on. But the foundation is still, how do I become part of this as opposed to just a victim of a lot of work? I want to be a part of the tornado, not a victim of the tornado. And that is where we put emphasis on growing culture, helping the people feel like family. We create family. We're not the victims of family. We're not the victims of culture. We create culture, and that takes purposefulness and skill. And we've been talking about it for 40 years.
I heard this phrase get thrown around when it comes to workplace culture, that, you know, your boomer generation, they live to work, whereas maybe our younger generations are known as the participation trophy generation. And there can be a clash there of ideology. Does that come up?
Well, you know, I think I like kind of putting people in categories, but it doesn't really effective. It's not effective individually. So we can think of baby boomers as the working generation, when in reality, I know a lot of baby boomers who are lazy as all get out, you know, so it, but it's good to kind of to say, okay, how should I approach this and then deal with a person? Because it really still comes down to, this is what we need and this is what I'm looking for. Can you fill that? And I've seen lots of people with Gen Z, Gen X, you know, the baby boomers that when I say, here's what we're looking for in the potential of the position in this place, can you fill it? Let's talk about you. Then all those categories kind of fade away.
Labor continues to be a top issue in the agriculture economy, recruiting and retaining labor. What are some strategies to do that on the farm? Again, to your point on culture, you have to develop it, and then you got to market it. And what are young people looking for in a job?
This is one of the categories that I think actually helps. It's like, okay, so now we have a generation that's coming in, and people say a lot of good things and negative things about a generation, as every generation has that. But here's what I think people are facing now, and that is, how do I help this generation that is wanting to retire early? They want $1 million now, you know, all that good stuff. They want a lifestyle versus a work history. You know, they want to feel like they're part of something larger. Okay, how do I put that into how I market this position? Why you're coming onto a farm? I'll give you an example. I was working with a company called Tyson, and one of the things that I heard one of the frontline workers say was when I asked him, what do you do? And literally what he does is put chicken. He picks up chicken and he puts it on a cone. And that's what he does all day. Pick up a chicken, put it on the cone. And I asked him, looking for the negative, what do you do? What's your job? And his answer was, I'm feeding the world. And that's what he stood on. There was nothing more. He goes, I feed the world. I'm putting, it's not, it got nothing to do with cone, got nothing to do with chicken. I feed the world. Everybody on this line feeds the world. If I don't do what I do, the guy down the line, that amazed me and really hit my head. What did the management team do that this person knows what they do is important, it's connected, and he feels part of something larger than just the work that he's doing? And that's a challenge for all of our farms. I want you to know that you're a part of this family, even if you don't have the name on the farm. You know, you don't have the history of the grandparent. I know you didn't grow up in this, but boy, do you feel like a part of this. That's one of the secret sauces for this generation. And one more thing is to pay attention to what other skills besides just labor are you looking for? Are you looking for ability to deal with data? Are you looking for ability to deal with technology? Are you looking that those things are more important now on farms than ever before? So it's way more than just a pair of hands. And that will help you help connect them to what you're trying to create.
Michael Hoffman along with us, president of Igniting Performance. He works with professional dairy producers to help build leaders among dairy farmers and managers. Retaining a workforce with some nuance management styles is one area of expertise that he shares with us today. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Helena Agri on the lookout now for pests, for weeds, and for nutrient deficiencies that are holding back yields. Steve Bailey, branch manager for the Monroe Helena Agri location, says plant tissue sampling, key.
One thing I applaud Helena on is we build a lot of our plans off of continuous annual results from either tissue samples or soil samples. And that plant is kind of a snapshot in time. When you take that leaf, it tells you what that plant is struggling to utilize or is deficient in. So we've been doing this for many, many years. So we get to start seeing trends. You can follow trends with weather patterns. So you can almost predict where we might land with some of these tissue samples. And this year we're seeing nitrogen. Some of these tissue samples are coming back with a deficiency or slightly low in nitrogen.
Steve Bailey, branch manager for the Monroe location of Helena Agri. Find a location near you, helenaagri.com. Wisconsin farmers are saying we need the heat we're picking up today. Across the state, the corn condition rating dropped 3 percentage points since last week. Same kind of situation with soybeans, down 7 percentage points as far as confidence. Winter wheat, 83% of that crop already headed out. 70% of the winter wheat called good to excellent. The Wall Street numbers are not good this morning. Right now, Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading down more than 200 points. Our July corn's unchanged. December new crop up a penny at 436. July soybeans up a penny. November new crop unchanged, 1061. July wheat right now is up about a nickel at 541. Yesterday, 40-pound block cheese dropped 5¾ cents to 178. The AA butter up 2¼ at 259¼. Currently, the July class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 20 cents at 1816 a hundredweight. We continue our conversation about what farms are doing to try to not only create a culture and a family that their employees can enjoy across multiple generations and multiple cultures. We're also looking for more resources on how we can kind of manage the angst that a lot of our farm employees may be feeling these days. Up next, Hernando Duarte, a bilingual farm labor outreach specialist with the Agriculture Institute, UW-Madison, shares his insights.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matinee on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matinee on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow, back from adventures in Canada, will be joining us to break down the news. Retired Major General Randy Manner will be here as well. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
On all farms and agribusinesses in Wisconsin, you heard Stephanie Hoff with Mike Hoffman talking about creating a culture that's welcoming, helping those folks to feel like they're family and keeping them for the long run. That's also the goal of Hernando Duarte. He is the new bilingual farm labor outreach specialist with University Extension. He is someone that has boots on the ground knowledge of what's happening on a lot of our Wisconsin farms. And what you may fail to recognize is a lot of the employees that we've got working in Wisconsin agriculture today have actually been here for generations. Many have worked their way up in farming operations so that now they are trusted managers. They are trusted partners and incredibly valuable as far as getting the job done. And Hernando Duarte tries to make sure that he's providing resources to make sure those relationships continue to thrive and those managers continue to grow.
definitely I have seen great, you know, managers on the farm that they come from, you know, people different countries outside the States. They build their career here. So they start, you know, being a milker, being a cow pusher, and they have been, you know, stepping the ladder along, and they have been a great resource for the dairy producers. So I have seen that it's a great resource, and actually we want to help that population as well and see how, you know, we can get the university closer to those managers and make sure that they're going to keep building his career path in Wisconsin. But definitely, you are right. People have been here for a long time, and they have built their careers here in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Hernando Duarte in studio with us. He is the bilingual farm labor outreach specialist, University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. He is his goal to basically reach out statewide to work with farms that are trying to grow and enhance their management of their employees, one of the most valuable assets. How much time do you think an average good dairy farm manager spends focused on his employees, Hernando, or how many should they be spending to do a good job managing their employees?
Well, that's a great question, Pam. Let me think about it a little bit. But yeah, I think not too much time, yes, to be honest, you know, like because they are like, you know, working in a farm, you have different things going on. Every day is different, you know, and you have to be dependent on weather or scope, you know, like planting and cropping and harvesting corn, alfalfa, all those things. So I have seen the dynamics, you know, and so basically when it was the independent consultant, basically I was the guy behind them trying to set up, okay, we need to do this training. We need to do the employee reviews. We need to do so many things that we can HR, you know. And yeah. So I think my idea is to, for those guys, managers and owners, to realize that we need to work with the people because those are the ones that are making your farm running smoothly, you know. So, but as you said, average, I mean, the good managers are spending a lot of time, but I will say, you know, majority, they don't have too much time to focus more in management.
So will you be working to build their protocol, their standard operating procedures, so that they don't have to spend so much time reinventing the wheel every time? You're going to come in and help them put together employee protocols, operating procedures help employees?
Yeah, I think that in that regard, like when you say protocols and procedures, maybe we have a lot of, you know, the dairy program. So those are the ones that are specialized, like milking procedures, protocols, and, you know, feeding calf, baby calf in the morning. So I think the university have that great resources that they can work with them. So for me, of course, like you said, procedures and protocols, in my mind, is always management and HR and workforce development, right? So we have the program that is online that is called Becoming the Employer of Choice. So in that program, basically, we're going to, you know, tell the producers how you're going to, you know, attract people, how you're going to retain people, how you're going to engage those guys. In that way, the turnover is lower. So I think it's trying to prepare those and how to manage. As you said, those managers that are not from here. So my idea also that Becoming the Employer of Choice could be in Spanish as well. So maybe we can, you know, enhance the audience that we have there. So back to protocols, yeah, I want to teach how to manage people efficiently. In that way, they have more time to spend with the cows as well. So
no, the one thing that I haven't asked you, Hernando, but I must, is what your sense is with all the headlines that we've been reading, the anxiety over what could be of these valuable employees and them continuing to be in Wisconsin. Anybody talking about it? Do you sense when you're out visiting farms, is there anxiety? Am I missing something? Because I sense that Wisconsin's dairy population is still very calm.
Right. Yeah, no, that's very trendy right now. And of course, it's a major concern for, you know, population that is, you know, born outside the United States. And in fact, you know, in the past, before I joined university, when I was still the independent consultant, and they saw the news and the headlines, hey, you know, I'm going to be able to keep working here? I don't know. So I think, fortunately, what I have seen here in Wisconsin, you know, nothing has happened to any dairy producer. You know, like everybody is still working there. And of course, in my previous meeting, say, well, we need just to be aware about what is that about. But I think like the dairy farms actually is a safe place to be in right now. So I haven't seen anything happening there. And also when the owner was asked by the employees, okay, what should we should do? They always give those like a peace of mind. You say, don't worry about it. We are behind you. We're going to support you. And you are safe here. We need you. You are a great employee. And nothing's going to happen to you. So I think the sense that I have seen the employees, you know, they have seen the news, but in the farm, nothing has happened yet. So, and hopefully it stays like that.
We're all hopeful for that. Hernando Duarte, bilingual farm labor outreach specialist, Agriculture Institute. He's working on a white paper to make sure that he can connect resources to the farms that are looking to retain those employees and help them continue to grow into managerial positions and leadership roles. We'll have a link up on our website on how you can become a part of the wait list looking for that white paper. All right, off we go to Bear Creek. We'll be back tomorrow morning reporting details on the upcoming Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Take care of yourself today with the heat.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Tips for dealing with the stress that comes with being a farmer. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. I would argue that farming is one of the most stressful occupations there is. Today, we're offering tips for dealing with that stress, courtesy of David Brown, a behavioral health specialist with Iowa State University Extension.
We're all pretty good at maybe helping others or maybe helping a friend or family member, but we forget about ourselves sometimes. So there's some really great research-based strategies out there that we can do that really help us take care of ourselves as well.
Brown suggests a variety of ways to deal with stress.
Could be having a hobby that we simply enjoy. Maybe doing some deep breathing, some mindfulness, meditation, some repetitive prayer. What do we do that helps us to relax, kind of lower blood pressure, relax our body a little bit, because that reduces the levels of frustration, improves focused mood, improves the muscle tension, all those things.
Brown recommends physical activity as well. You know, healthy body, healthy mind.
You might want to look at buying a treadmill, joining a gym, things like that, because there's so many great benefits of physical activity. It improves sleep quality, reduces blood pressure, reduces risk of developing dementia, and actually reduces the risk for 8 different types of cancers.
There are many farm stress hotlines available across the country 24 hours a day. Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk, and then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Stevenson. Arriving back in Washington in the past hours, President Trump having left the G7 summit in Canada because of the Iran-Israel fighting. Aboard Air Force One, the president was asked if he's looking for a ceasefire.
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that will be permanent.
Yeah. Or giving up entirely. That's okay, too.
Happening several times, the most recent hours ago, Palestinians shot dead by, witnesses say, Israeli troops near a food aid center run by a new U.S.-Israeli military group. 51 dead, says the Gaza Health Ministry. No comment from the Israeli military. One of the worst Russian air attacks in Ukraine's capital happened overnight, drones and missiles killing at least 14, see Ukrainian officials. One of the doctors accused of supplying ketamine to the Friends TV star Matthew Perry before his overdose death is now expected to plead guilty. This is ABC News.